Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Guns it. Caught. Touchdown Atlanta in the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. Merry Christmas, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here and listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Turtle is in for Mike today. He is out enjoying the holiday, and we've been talking about a lot of stuff.
Why are you holding your Gatorade like that?
Wait, I'm about to take a drink.
Your hydration fluid.
I'm about to take a drink here in a second.
Those electrolytes.
You are trying to insinuate a whole lot here. We've been talking about a lot when it comes to Michael Penix, and I'm going to tell you why you should be excited about the things we saw specifically. But you said you had something to say about whether or not this whole Kirk Cousins conversation, and again, I even hate that we're having this, to be honest with you. Because it's Christmas. And I want everybody to have, you know, an enjoyable Christmas. Listen, I feel bad in a way for Kirk Cousins. I know people are all caught up in the money. It's not about that. He wanted to play here. He wanted to be here. It's not working out, and so change had to happen. But I will say this. This idea that everybody just thinks he's moving on or that he's going to be gone, slow down a little bit. And I was just telling Turtle this before the top of the hour, which is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Obviously today, guys, it is the day before Christmas, Tuesday, and Wild Wings Tuesday. Buy one, get one half off traditional wings. All right. What's your scathing or at least shocking statement about this whole situation with Cousins?
Okay. Tweeted this out a couple of days ago. You can hit me up at C. Thomas Radio. And I got more engagement on this tweet than I think any tweet I've ever posted. So clearly struck a nerve with Atlanta, and I'm glad it did. Said the following. Worrying about Kirk Cousins' contract status is like worrying about who your ex is dating after you've already broken up with them. Who cares? The Falcons have must-win games remaining. You cannot worry about Kirk Cousins at all anymore. It's over. It's done. I don't care if he comes back as the backup quarterback next year. He's the backup quarterback. How often do we talk about the backup quarterback?
We don't.
Only when the starting quarterback stinks, which is what led to this switch in the first place. If Michael Penix Jr. goes out there and balls, we will never talk about Kirk Cousins as an Atlanta Falcon ever again unless Michael Penix Jr. gets hurt. I could care less.
Man, you're cold.
What the Falcons do with Kirk Cousins right now.
Man, that's rude.
He is making a you-know-what ton of money to be a backup quarterback right now.
There you go.
Sorry it had to end this way.
There you go.
But here we are. Michael Penix Jr. is 1-0 as the starting quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons with a chance to get to the playoffs with a must-win game against a red-hot Commanders game on Sunday Night Football. I don't care what they do with Kirk Cousins' contract. Pay him. Don't pay him. Cut him. Don't cut him.
Okay.
Give him the $10 million kicker.
Wait a minute. I don't care,
and neither should you.
Wait a minute. First of all, I got to tell you, this Gatorade Frost pretty good. It's Gatorade Frost. Secondly,
it's a good pregame.
You say that until we can't go get somebody.
But see, the $27 million guaranteed no matter what.
Yes, but if you trade him, they're going to have to pay either all of it, sort of like Russell Wilson, and a team's going to get him for little of nothing, the veteran's minimum, or you're paying most of it. And that will affect your cap. Now, you know I'm not a big cap guy. I don't care. But everybody will say that until you're not able to go sign guys that you want to sign because you're still caught up in that situation.
The only money in his contract that's manipulatable.
He's going to get $27 million next year.
He's going to get $27 million next year. That's all the guaranteed money that's left on the contract. If they keep him, he gets $10 more million. That's it.
Correct.
That's it.
Correct.
You're not talking about $50, $60, $70 million like you were with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
So it's cheaper to keep him?
No. It doesn't matter one way or the other. No team is going to pick up any of his salary.
They're
Why
not.
Would they?
And this is the deal. I hear what you're saying, and you're saying you don't care now. It's December when the middle of a season that could result in a playoff.
But that essentially...
You will care in the spring when free agency starts.
No.
Guaranteed.
No. Here's why. Because you know what? All you have to do, Carl, is a slight manipulation of the optics. Just pretend that's Michael Penix's salary next year.
Okay.
And that's bottom third for quarterbacks.
It is.
And if he plays like we think he can...
He's outplayed the contract.
It's a bargain.
Yes.
And then you're out from Kirk anyway. Who cares? After next year.
That's the big thing.
So don't... Who can't... Like, that's what I'm saying. I saw... The day after Penix was named the starter,
yeah,
the two biggest insiders in the NFL, their articles were talking about Kirk Cousins' contract.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah, it is, but it still affects the team. 404-726-0929. Now, I have a little bit more compassion than you do.
He's just fine, Carl.
I have feelings a little bit more than you do.
He's counting his millions.
I, unlike you, have a little bit of grace. And with it being Christmas Eve, Chris, I am going to tell you that at this point, this whole conversation just needs to be paused. I am not where you are with the hell with him. Who cares? Move on.
But Carl, why?
I'm not there.
Why?
Let's just pause because the season's not over. When the season is over, we'll have plenty of time to discuss.
And you aren't the ones. We didn't incite this conversation. It was the national media.
No, that is true. But we live here, and everybody wants to know, well, what happens next? Where is this going? And how does it affect my football team?
Why do you care, though?
See, here's the thing. Everybody thinks, like, the Denver Broncos, for example, right? Nobody's talking about the fact that the Broncos had to pay, what, Russ, $37 million or whatever it was?
Yeah.
And then he goes to Steelers and he goes $4 million, and both teams are doing fine. But don't discount how that didn't affect their football team. Sean Payton's a hell of a coach. He's coached guys up. And the defense, when you look at it, and I ask you, where's the star power? You probably can't even name anybody on the Broncos defense. But they are playing lights out, and they've been really one of the best defenses this league.
We have their best player in Simmons.
Well, that's true. But I'm simply saying this idea that you move on from these guys, like, it still affects you. But right now, I'm chilling. I'm good. We're in a good spot. And God forbid if something happens, at least you know you have something to fall back on, even though you may not want to fall back on it. And some people said, if he goes somewhere else, if he does, he's gonna get another shot. There is a market for him. I know you don't think it because of the way that he's played. But the ebbs and flows of the NFL, he's going to get another shot if he wants to continue to play, and I think he does.
I don't think that. I think there's absolutely a market for
Carl.
There's going to be five teams that would want him. And you know what? If he goes somewhere and has an MVP season, I still don't care because it didn't work here. It wasn't working here. That was never going to happen.
Well,
if he goes somewhere else.
It was working until it wasn't.
Well, okay, but Carl, whatever the reason is, if he's injured, if it's Zach Robinson.
But let's not act like he was a complete bum.
No.
Like that's what you're sounding like right now. You are literally like, kick him out the door. I don't give a damn what happens. I hear you. And if all of that happens and the Falcons play it that way, so be it.
They already turned the page.
But right now, I'm not worried. That's not my concern. That I agree with you about. The concern is the Washington Commanders. The concern is the Carolina Panthers. How do we win these last 2 weeks? How do we get into the playoffs and maintain this position now that we're back tied with Tampa? Like, how do we get in front of them? We get a game in front of them. That's what I'm concerned about. Everybody wants to talk about the ifs, ands, and whats and how it affects his team. You right now are like, I don't give a damn. You're ready to kick him off the team right now.
But Carl, because the Band-Aid's been ripped off. You cannot unmake this change.
No, you can't.
It's done.
No, you can't.
So as far as I'm concerned, the Kirk Cousins era in Atlanta ended. It ended with that last game that he was awful against the Raiders.
Well, it ended when they made the decision to go to Penix.
Which was 20 hours later or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But, Carl, it's done. The cap ramifications are going to be what it's going to be. If he goes somewhere else and throws for 4,500 yards and 35 touchdowns next year, it doesn't matter because that wasn't going to be in Atlanta. It wasn't. I don't care what happens. He broke. He broke, Carl, to the point where you had to bench him for a rookie. There is no coming back from that.
Man, you're cold.
There's no, but it just, it is what it is.
No, it is. I cannot argue the circumstance. What I'm telling you is all these scenarios, slow your roll. It's okay. All of that stuff is going to play out.
But he's not going to – he has a full blanket no-trade clause.
Correct.
He is, A, not going to allow himself to go to a bad situation.
That's correct.
And, B, he's not going to sit on the sidelines next year. So, I don't care how much he's making.
Yeah, but I will say this. And, again, we act like that's not a big deal. Even if you decide to keep him, significant money, it's still taking away from what you can do. And if you decide to pay all of that and say we're done and allow him to walk and go sign with the team for $1 million somewhere else next year, that still affects your team. Either way, it's going to affect your team.
But the money's already – you're acting like the money's not already accounted for. It is. It's already accounted for. There's nothing you can do. So that's why I'm saying just look at it as Penix's salary for next year. Because that $27 million is not going to be something that you can restructure or reorganize. It's guaranteed money. It's
yeah,
due.
But that's easy because Penix is on a rookie deal. You and I both know that's not what he's making. That's hypothetical stuff. To say that you have $27 million on the books and we're just going to scratch that line out as if it doesn't exist, BS.
But how? That's what you have to do.
That doesn't happen. There are cause and effects to these moves. Matt Ryan and moving on from it, there was a cause and effect.
Right.
Julio, there was a cause and effect. This is what happens when these decisions are made.
The cause and effect was you sucked for 3 years.
Okay. That's what I'm telling you. Because you're unable to sign and go get help. That is what I'm telling you. You can do it, but you're doing it on a limited budget. It's not as if you don't account for that money. There's no bank in the world that's going to say, you owe us $27 million for that loan you took out. Oh, by the way, we're just going to scratch this line out.
But if Kirk hypothetically never gets benched, Carl, right, and he comes back for next year, he still owed the money. That's still going to be on your roster.
Yes, but the difference is he's playing. he's not somewhere else. You're getting his services. The pay goes along with the services. If you're not getting his services, then why the hell am I paying you?
Well, you're getting Penix's services, which is pennies on the dollar for Kirk. Michael Penix is making, what, $1 million next year? It doesn't matter.
Second year of the rookie deal?
Right, yeah. So it doesn't matter. That $27 million is going to be responsible for the quarterback play no matter who's doing it. I don't know, man. I think this is open. I know you disagree, but this is open and shut.
Oh, no. Look, whatever happens is going to happen. What I'm telling you is the timing right now, this shouldn't be the focus. That's all I'm saying. Like, to worry about this now, to double down on your point about your tweet, it's not the right time. Like, and, you know, whether you're being mean-spirited like Chris is, I don't care about him. There'll be plenty of time to say those things and move forward. But right now, it's about winning football games. And that should be the focus. All of this conversation. But do not think for 1 second that you will not be crying if they say, I'm going to pay Kirk Cousins all of his money and we're going to let him go. And you're going to be saying, Dukes and Bell, when Mike's here, why can't we go get this player? Trust me.
Dukes
and Bell.
We've
lived it.
Why can't we go get this player?
We've lived it.
Why?
And that then you're going to complain about how the cap was mismanaged, and then you're going to want to fire Terry Fontenot. Trust me.
There's a lot of people that already want to fire Terry
this
Fontenot.
This matters how it's going to be handled. But now is not the time. That was my point. I didn't expect you to go all in like that. Wow. All right. Coming back. Coming up. We got the strong arm story of the day. We're going to go behind enemy lines. Chris Russell's going to join us. Team 980 midday host. We'll find out the latest on the Commanders next.
Merry Christmas.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
I see some of y'all are not in the Christmas spirit. Man, I'm going to start calling Turtle Snapping Turtle I mean, you might as well evict Kirk Cousins and his family from their home the way you were just talking. I don't care about him. I was like, man. And the guys are hitting us up talking about, you know, I agree with Turtle. I don't care about his contract. Until you're not able to go get that defensive piece you want next year. Watch. 404-726-0929. We'll talk more about this and the Falcons, but we got to talk to Chris Russell. He is with Team 980, the midday host in Washington, and we got to go behind enemy lines, guys. And, Chris, I'll tell you, this is a game that everybody's looking forward to. It was flexed and moved to Sunday night. Thanks for being here. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you and your family. Chris, let me ask you this. I want to ask you about this quarterback because he threw five touchdowns against the Eagles last week. And I'm watching this game unfold. They were down double digits, right? Two touchdowns twice in this game, down five late. Jaden Daniels, has he been better than advertised? And why has he been so good for the Commanders this season?
Yeah, Carl, first of all, pleasure to be on with you, Chris. I appreciate you guys having me, and it's great, obviously, to talk to you again. I know we spent some time at the Army-Navy game, which I always enjoy. So that's number one, and happy holidays. But, yeah, I mean, Jaden has been better than anticipated. I mean, there's no way you could – like, somebody called my radio show yesterday and legitimately asked, and I've been thinking about it, although I've been too lazy to do the research – is this the greatest rookie season of all time? And it might be. I don't know. I mean, that's how good, that's how magical, that's how special he's been. Every time you think there's no chance he can do that, he does that. And, yeah, Sunday was far from, you know, great as a team. They turned the ball over six times, including once on downs at midfield. He threw two bad interceptions, and yet there he is with the five touchdowns. And to, you know, quite honestly, 9-5 ham and eggers. I mean, he's not throwing them all to Terry McLaurin. I know he had one to Terry McLaurin, and it was majestic, but he's throwing it to Jamison Crowder and to Olamide Zaccheaus, who I know played in Atlanta, has bounced around, and he's an NFL player, but you know, he's doing a lot with very, very, very minimal, I guess, talent around him.
When it comes to our side of the field with the QB, Chris, you know Michael Penix will be making his second start in the NFL. What kind of defense will he be seeing? How many lanes will he have to throw? Will he be able to put his full complement on display?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting because I would assume Joe Witt Jr., who I think was with Atlanta for a little bit of Dan Quinn's tenure down there, you know, a number of years ago, and then obviously was with DQ in Dallas, is a guy who, like, he certainly will get after it and he will pressure, but he won't do it consistently and across the board. So I think he's going to pick his spot. So what I'm really interested in is, okay, when is that spot? Does he do it right away from the get-go? I don't think so. I think they try and get just a natural pass rush and maybe kind of bottle up the run because they've got to be able to control Bijan Robinson, who obviously can hurt anybody, but certainly is going to, you would think, have some success against this somewhat spotty Commanders run defense. But then when you get to, say, third and six, third and five, third and seven, somewhere in that range, that's where I think Joe Witt, the defensive coordinator, and Dan Quinn crank it up and try and come after the rookie quarterback. So I would expect more zone, and I would expect blitzing more on third down, second and long type situations. That's how I would approach it. That's how I think they'll approach it. But we'll have to obviously wait and see exactly what they decide to do.
Chris Russell joining us, guys. Team 980, midday host here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we talk about the Commanders and Falcons Sunday night football coming up this week. And it's a big game, playoff implications for both teams, as we said, with 2 weeks left. Talk about Cliff Kingsbury and this offense and how he's called it, how he's managed it. What is the response? And is there a lot of conversation about Kingsbury? Because I think he's going to have some job opportunities potentially in the offseason.
Yeah, I think he is too, because, I mean, obviously when you have a win and a performance like Jaden Daniels and the Commanders did on Sunday, even again with the turnovers, people are going to look at the plus side. And they should, oh, by the way. You know, and here's the thing. There was a lot of talk a couple of weeks ago. You know, Carl, I might have mentioned this to you, you know, again, when we saw each other a couple of weekends ago. you know, about this, this they called it the Cliff, right?
Okay, right.
spelled differently. And, you know, they blamed everything that happened in Arizona in the second half of the year on Cliff Kingsbury, not on Kyler Murray, not on injuries, on Cliff Kingsbury. And I thought, remembering watching, talking to people, that that was a bunch of hogwash to begin with. And I'm glad I thought that, because it was a bunch of hogwash, to be honest with you. Cliff Kingsbury's been great. I mean, listen, from time to time he gets a little impatient and he gets away from the run when I wish he would stay with the run a little bit. But there's times where he shouldn't. And I'll give you an example. Down 21-7 mid-second quarter. This is a different example, I should clarify. Down 21-7 mid-second quarter on Sunday, right? Kind of the game's in a sort of a lull. They're backed up all the way to their four-yard line. He comes out with a deep drop, and Jaden Daniels drops an absolute dime for 50 yards in stride to De'Ami Brown up the Commander's sideline. And then he finishes off that drive on a 3rd-and-8 with a beautiful deep fade in the far corner of the end zone, opposite side of the field, to Terry McLaurin for the touchdown. They drove 96 yards, basically. Yeah, I think it was like 6 plays, snap of a finger style with the 2 big plays. You don't see a lot of offensive coordinators down 21-7 stretching the field like that from the shadow of your own end zone when not a lot is going right. Now, he's got the quarterback to do it, and obviously Terry McLaurin, but, you know, De'Ami Brown, they have not stretched the field deep with him, the former North Carolina product, this year, even though he's capable of doing it, and Cliff did it out of a timeout, and that's a thing for Falcons fans to watch. Cliff loves to attack first down, deep, stretching the field out of a timeout, off a turnover, that type of thing.
Chris, you mentioned the deep threat game is a potential. That means the offensive line has to be doing their job. The Falcons, to start the season, as you may know, couldn't sack their way out of a paper bag, but have really turned it on of late. 16 sacks in the last 4 games. How should they hold up against this offensive line?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit worried about that matchup, because the Commanders have been spotty down the stretch here in terms of pass protection. They only gave up, I think it was 1 sack on Sunday, but they gave up 8 the previous week against New Orleans. Now, you know, a few of those were on Jaden, quite honestly, and I think 2 of them were for, like, 0 yards lost, but were marked as a sack. So, you know, you can play with the numbers any way you want. The bottom line is they might be without their starting right tackle, Andrew Wiley, who suffered a groin injury. Now, he's been in and out of the lineup the last couple of weeks, so they have a veteran, Cordelius Lucas. So that's not a huge drop-off, but it is somewhat significant to note. And, you know, they do have a rookie in Brandon Coleman out of TCU, a third-round pick at left tackle, and that's probably the area that the Atlanta Falcons probably can have the most success against, because up the middle, generally speaking, they're pretty good with Sam Cosmi at right guard, Tyler Biadasz at center, who is an import from Dallas, and Nick Allegretti, who is with the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs. They're pretty solid up the middle, so I would think if Atlanta's going to have success, it's probably going to come from the right side of Atlanta's defense, left side of the Commander's offensive line. And yes, you can get some pressure on Jaden. The problem is, if you're not disciplined and if you're not in your lanes, and even if you are, Jaden is going to make you look silly, because he has an innate feel when he's moving north, if you will, as he did on a 4th-and-11, quite honestly, guys, when he should have been absolutely swallowed up and he ran for 30 yards the other day.
Yeah, it's a good point. He is elusive. Chris Russell, our guest, guys. We're going behind enemy lines. It's time to talk your ish.
Welcome to Talk, presented by Cologuard. It's time to get low and screen for colon cancer. Quest your prescription at getlow2.com. That's the number 2 to learn more.
Chris, why will the Commanders win this game?
Well, at home. Chance to clinch a division, chance to clinch a playoff spot. It's been a while, guys, since they played in a meaningful Sunday night game. And even though it's not Kirk Cousins anymore, we presume Michael Penix will play the whole game. You know, there's a lot on the line here. I think I think ultimately their offense is probably going to be a little bit too much for Atlanta's defense to handle, especially if they can, again, hold up on the pass rush. They've got to develop a natural running game. That is a weakness for them right now, but I think they'll do a little bit better of a job. And as long as they don't put it on the leg of Zane Gonzalez, the place kicker, they'll be okay.
Yeah.
And I think they should win a tight one.
Well, I'll say this, too. The Falcons right now have a little momentum. They needed to get out of this rut. They did. I think Penix showed a lot. And if he can stay poised in this game, I agree with you. Listen, I think it's going to be a closer game. I don't believe it's going to be a blowout or anything like that. And it's going to come down to what it did last week for the Commanders, and that is playmaking at the end of the game. Can we get off the field? Can we make a play? Can we score if we get in the red zone late in this game? And that's what's going to come down to. I'm with you, Chris. I'm looking forward to a great game. Man, always good to talk with you. It's good to have you on the show, and appreciate your time as always. And, again, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, my man.
Absolutely. Happy holidays to you both and everybody down there listening. And, looking forward to a great game and Merry Christmas.
Talk to you soon, Chris. Thanks again, buddy.
Sounds good, Dukes.
All right, there he is, Chris Russell. And he was at Army-Navy. We were talking about, first of all, how crappy the stadium is, Northwest Stadium. It's terrible. And for Falcon fans that are going up, if you are for that Sunday game, or I know the time change, but if you had plans to go up there, just know. It's an old school stadium. They're trying to get a new facility, but Chris is on top of his game when it comes to this and the Commanders. They're a good team. When we play our best, so are we. And that's the thing. If we're going to go up there and get a win, we got to be on our best game. We're coming back. We got plenty more to talk about. Road to the College Bowl playoff continues. We now know the situation with Carson Beck. His season is over. What's it mean for Gunnar Stockton and the Dogs? We'll tell you next.
By the way, Carl, real quick, Chris Russell, our guy?
Yeah.
He's got a great nick.
Carson Beck suffered an injury to his UCL during the SEC Championship game. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're here on Christmas Eve, and Chris is filling in for Mike today. The MRI, by the way, the next morning, left open whether or not he should have surgery or not. So we, as the public, weren't sure. The media wasn't sure. Kirby and company weren't saying a whole lot. The degree of the injury, by the way, was never officially announced. All we knew was it was UCL. And so then we find out yesterday that he had surgery. It happened in California. And that Carson Beck is going to be out for the Dogs moving forward. So here's the prognosis, at least for him. Because when we started the season, we were talking about potentially Carson Beck being the number one overall pick and maybe having the best odds of that happening. The season played out, then this injury plays out, which opens the door for Gunnar Stockton, which we're going to talk about in a second. But a full recovery is expected with throwing to begin in spring of 2025. Now, again, when's your spring start? I don't know. Is it when we spring forward? That's March. Are you talking about April when we're talking about, you know, G-Day and the spring game? I don't know what the date would be. But it also kicks in, or at least kicks him out of that timetable, Turtle, to where you're saying, okay, he can get ready for the draft. He can work out. He's going to throw for teams. He's going to have a pro day. I don't know how all of this affects that, but I still think right now, if you were to ask me, is he an NFL caliber, you know, quarterback, I would tell you yes. Does it mean he's going to be a first-round pick? No, it doesn't.
Unless Ryan Day gets on the horn with his people and says, yeah, this guy we had this year, nah, not so great. Let's upgrade, shall we? Shall we, Columbus? Let's rally together in the Horseshoe NIL and bring in Carson Beck.
They cut the check?
They might. Maybe Alabama.
Yeah, they might. Yep.
Maybe Oregon.
Yeah.
There's a lot of teams that are losing their quarterbacks this offseason. Deion? Does he want? Would he take Carson Beck for a year?
Oh, he just got Juju.
Juju can wait. Juju will be just fine collecting his money
actually,
on the side.
Actually, I think he got another. I think he's got two quarterbacks there. But to your point, yes, this is the portal. We don't know the portal aspect of this. My guess is Carson Beck, if he came back, would want to be at Georgia. That would be my guess. But you keep throwing it out there. What if Gunnar Stockton balls out? Well, what if he does? What happens?
You can't go home again, Carl.
What if Gunnar Stockton leads the Dogs to a national championship? Nope. He's just a sophomore. So, you know, again, he's waited his turn. These last few seasons, but I do think there's something there. But it's also, you know, it's kind of like this. If you win it, you're our guy. If you don't win it, well, we'll see. That's kind of crappy, because what if he plays really well in these three games and it's not on him because the Dogs don't win?
Are we about to do the Kirk Cousins conversation all over again?
I'm just saying.
Are we about to do this all over again?
What if Gunnar Stockton plays well, but they don't win it? Are you still willing to go, well, it ain't your job?
Well, how'd he play?
He played well.
Then no, it's not his job anymore. Sorry. Carl.
It's not whose job? Beck's job?
No.
Yes, I agree. But I'm saying you can't just say if Gunnar wins it, that's the only way he gets this job. He could play really well over the next 3 weeks, and I'm, again, projecting here that the Dogs are going to get to the championship game. And then let's just say it doesn't happen, that for some reason they come up short. Are you willing to say, hey, he's our guy moving into next season? That's what I'm saying. Winning it is easy. That makes this decision easy for everybody. But what if he doesn't? What if they don't?
But, Carl, there's, as the kids like to say, there's levels to this ish.
There are levels.
There are. Because if he goes out and plays like a 5 out of 10, then yes, you would take Carson Beck back. If he plays at a 7, it'd be a tough decision. If he plays at a 9, it's not a tough decision. And Carl, what about Ryan Puglisi?
Who?
Their other prize quarterback.
I haven't seen him.
What about Jaden Rashada?
I hadn't seen him.
What about those guys?
What about them? I hadn't seen them. I don't know what they can do. Just like I didn't know what Gunnar Stockton can do until he got into the SEC championship.
They're sitting in the Dogs quarterback.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back room saying, I'm going to leapfrog this guy next year. Not so fast now, my friend.
Yeah, well, let me say this. Somebody's leaving. That's what I'm going to tell you. Somebody's in the portal. If Gunnar Stockton ends up being the quarterback and Beck is not back, I don't think they keep all those quarterbacks in that room. I just don't, including Rashada.
Well, then you know what? He has to play like a 9 or a 10.
Okay.
Because that's the only way the door gets shut on these other circumstances. Because, Carl, let's say they make it to the semifinals. And he goes...
That's one game away.
And he goes, okay, it's one game away.
Yeah. They beat...
Notre Dame. Right.
Yeah.
And he goes 18 of 32.
Okay.
174 yards.
That's it?
A touchdown.
That's all?
A rushing score.
Okay.
And a pick. Is that good enough to say...
Did the Dogs win?
They win 21-17.
Then, yeah, it's good enough. They won.
That's
right now.
That's not sexy, though.
No, it's not. But see, this is what I'm getting back to with the whole Stetson Bennett thing. When they were winning, nobody cared how it looked. Now Georgia has to look a certain way when they win? Seriously? Like the quarterback has to look a certain way. He's got to throw for 300 yards. Stop. That's foolishness. All we care about is them winning and finding a way to win. And if that was to happen and those numbers played out, they won. And they're moving on and they're playing from the semifinal, they're playing in the national championship game. And if they found a way to win that, dog fans don't care. That's three rings in less than a 10-year period. That to me, that's all that matters. And so I don't care about the style points. I'm just simply saying define playing well, because when you're ready to hand this job over and say Stockton's going to be our guy, does it automatically mean he has to win this championship for the Dogs? And he can't do it alone, by the way.
No,
we know that.
No,
but he's a big part of it.
No, it doesn't. But let me ask you this question. Where does Carson Beck get drafted right now? Is it before the fourth round?
Yes, I believe so. I think he has. I like to talk about tools and when it comes to these quarterbacks, especially in the spring. I spent a lot of time talking to people about this stuff. It is not about, a lot of times we get caught up in what a guy did in college. Again, I say this about Drake May right now. What did he do at North Carolina? Everybody's all, and I kept saying that the comp for him was Justin Herbert. And people laughed. And I said, that's what I'm hearing. And guess what? Drake May's playing really good football right now. They probably should have went to him earlier in the season in New England. But the fact of the matter is, it's about the tools. He has that. Carson has the tools. So, yes, I would tell you that he could be easily a second or third round pick, depending on how the draft played out and obviously needs and whatnot. But if you want to be a first round and you want to be a high first round, don't you have to come back?
Well, early indications, everything I'm reading, seeing, hearing, judging, watching, listening – is the following. It's Shadur, it's Cam Ward,
yeah,
and then it's a cliff drop to the next guys.
Fair.
Which are Quinn Ewers,
yep,
Dylan Gabriel, Carson Beck. So the question is, where do you land after you fall off that cliff? Is it they're talking about number one and number two versus early second round? Or are they talking about number one and number two versus mid third round? Because that's a huge difference.
Yeah, well, and again, when we start talking about the draft down the road, and we're just talking about the Dogs and this quarterback situation, and boy, they say they're getting Gunnar Stockton ready. Kirby talked about him getting all the reps. There's no doubt in my mind Georgia will have him ready to play. How he plays, that's going to be determined on the field. His impact, that's going to be determined on the field. I'm not going to debate the prep. I just don't know if it's enough time. It's easy to say Stockton will be ready, but he's not bringing the experience that Carson Beck is bringing with him, and that's why everybody was on Beck to begin with. But I'll say this in regards to your, you know, you're talking about, what were you just saying about?
What is the cliff between Shadur Sanders,
okay,
and Cam Ward, how far, once you hit the bottom of the cliff, how far is the drop?
Right. Okay, so part of this is, in all these teams, what I'm going to say is, if I can get Carson Beck in the third round and he's got first round talent and it pans out, I got to steal, right? I don't know if we're going to have six quarterbacks taken in the first round and the first 15 picks this year. Like this last year, these last couple of years have been unusual, but it seems like that's the trend, right? Everybody that needs quarterbacks, they're getting them and it doesn't matter. You know, everybody laughed at Bo Nix in Denver. Look at what's happening. So it could easily mean that even though there's a fall off, there's a team that values him enough to draft him in the first round. But if you're telling me it's that kind of fall off from those two or three guys, and then it's going to be second, late third round, well, if I'm a team, there's no reason for me to pick him in the first or second round if I can get him in the third and I know I'm getting value. With that said, I think Carson Beck has all the tools. And I've been saying this. I think he can make all the throws. Some of this stuff has made him look worse as a quarterback, meaning the drops and the stuff that's happened and the way the team has played. But it has nothing to do when you individually, if I gave you tape to look just at his skill set, his footwork, his delivery, his ball placement, he's an NFL quarterback.
Let's do, before we catch a break, a very quick exercise. I am on tankathon.com, which keeps track of up-to-the-minute NFL draft order.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, for the first round. Would the New York, just all I need are yes or no.
Yeah.
Would the Giants take him at one?
No.
Jacksonville at three.
No.
Tennessee at four.
No.
Cleveland at five.
Cleveland's a toss-up. I don't know what the hell they're going to do.
Vegas at six.
Maybe.
Jets at eight.
Are they moving on from Aaron? Even if they're not, well, they need a quarterback.
Well, you would presume yes.
Yeah. Eight. If you're doing what the Jets need to do, yes. Absolutely.
New Orleans at 10.
No Derek? No, no Derek there?
I mean, does that matter? He's been irrelevant.
Well, it only matters if, again, you're invested and you want to stay the course. If you're telling me all these teams are starting over.
You're not staying the course with Derek Carr. Come on. Hasn't worked.
Well, they're getting a new coach. We know that. Mickey Loomis is still running the show. They have been eliminated, by the way. Hi, Saints.
Yeah, they're 5-10.
It just feels good, Turtle. Let me you know, linger in this for a minute. I would tell you if everybody's moving on, which is, you know, those first few picks, that's a given. But if you're telling me, like, the Jets, there's still an investment in Aaron and blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's just assume. Yes, I would tell you eight. What other pick did you have? Eight and?
New Orleans is at 10. Couple more.
I would tell you yes.
Okay. Indianapolis at 13.
No. Not with Anthony Richardson. They're not going to reinvest. They took him very high. No.
He hasn't been great. Seattle at 18.
Ooh, that's interesting. That I would tell you yes. Geno's not the answer. Geno's a great story. I know, you know, they wrote him off and he didn't write back, but that's not happening.
Rams at 23.
The irony there is, isn't Stetson Bennett with the Rams and didn't they pick him a few years ago to potentially be the heir apparent to Matthew Stafford? To answer your question just straight up, yes. All of those teams in the back half of the draft absolutely makes sense.
That would be the last team there that I could see.
Yeah, with the quarterback
with
situation.
The quarterback situation.
That all those make sense. All right, 404-726-0929. We're going to take a quick break. 6 o'clock hour is straight ahead. You're going to hear our conversation with Wes Durham. Great stuff from him about the Falcons getting ready for this Commanders game on Sunday night and also some college football conversation. But when we come back, we'll break down what the Hawks did last night as they are becoming a team to reckon with. And there's a reason why it's happening. We'll explain next.